is our 26th year at celebration. And since we were not able to celebrate and come together last year and the year before in 20 and 21, we wanted to do a special this year. So here we are. Aren't you guys excited? All right, we do have some special stuff for you guys today. Well, I know that this is a different configuration than what we're normally in. And that's because we do have some, a little brunch. And I was going to say something that Sister Polish said, but I will just keep that to myself. Hallelujah. So we got a few giveaways. We have some testimonies. We have some worship music coming our way. We also have two very special guest speakers today. And I mentioned testimonies. We have about, I gave out six, but there's a couple of them that are doubled up. So there's going to be a little bit more than six testimonies today. So that should be wonderful. I'm going to ask Brother Art to come up right now and pray over our food and our time together.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this wonderful day, Lord, that you've given us, Father, as we celebrate 26 years, Father, of your church here on this corner. Father, bless our food, bless our time together, Father, as we fellowship together and share memories, Father, of our time here, Lord. We just give you praise and glory and thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Sister D.
Welcome, everybody. Beautiful Landmark. Look at you. You're all gorgeous this morning. Just so happy that everybody can make it, you and your family, special guests. So we're going to release to get, go ahead and serve yourselves. There, you can go on each side of the serving table, so there'll be two lines. So we're going to do some giveaways. You guys ready? You found your tickets, right? Okay. So we have all these beautiful giveaways, so I'm going to go rapid because we want to make sure that we have our guest speakers and our testimonials have time. So I'm going to go rapid for you guys. David's going to assist me. Doesn't he look handsome today? Always. Okay, David. 691203. You don't be telling fibs in the house now. Okay, right here we're going to have one of our youngsters run it out to you so you don't have to come up here. All right, right there, that beautiful lady there. Okay, our next one is 7634066. 7634, Caleb. Let's grab one and run it out to Caleb. Just grab him. Just grab him. Okay.
Amen. Our God brings, church. He's worthy. He's worthy. And we are here today to celebrate him. We were upset last year and the year before because we didn't get to do anything. So I was whining, you know, about a few months ago. And I said, Lord, we didn't get to do anything. And I just really want to do something. And I would say, Lord, I really, really want to do something. And finally, I just heard, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to treat the people good. And I just want us to be able to do something. And he said, why? And I thought, well, why? Just because we want to have a little celebration? Just because? And again, I felt, well, why? I said, oh, God, to celebrate you, to tell you how good you are and how wonderful and all you've given to us. How you set us on this corner to be a light in Porterville. You know, 7 acres isn't much, but that's what he had for us. And if he moves us on and after our 26th year, how many will just go along if he moves us? We'll go. But if he says, you stay right there and fill that old barn full of souls until I come, and I'll just keep bringing them in and sending them out into the field, then that's what we'll do. Is that right? We will just do that. Okay, you guys. Well, look. We've been here a long time now, you know. And I am so blessed. I was thinking I was only about my daughter's age when I started the church. And, well, where's my testimonies at? I'm going to have some very special people come, and they were with me from the very, very beginning. And one of them, or two of them, a couple was there before the beginning. And so I'll just have Greg and Cinda Woodard. Greg, would you and Cinda come, please? And then Miss Alice, if you could find a seat closer up, we'll have you real soon. And I'm going to ask all of you, we have six, well, with the wives, I guess we would have about eight testimonies. So you guys have to be brief because we have two preachers here today. So that could be dangerous. And so, but we want them to have time, but I do want you to hear some of the great things that went into the church. Brother Greg, I want you to come first. Would you give Greg Woodard your love this morning? Thank you for being with us there in the beginning. You were such a big part.
I told her, I said, you may regret giving me the mic. I'm full this morning. My wife might say you're full of it. But, we're remembering today, right? The scripture that came to mind was in Psalm 77. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. I was thinking about that time in our life. That was when Pastor said that we were with her before the church started. She is absolutely correct, and I reminded her of that last night. I said, if you remember, I said, it was the first week of June in 1996. I said, we were all gathered in the cafeteria of Kauai Delta Hospital because my dad was about to undergo his second open heart surgery. And as we were all sitting there, including the pastors that we were currently at that time attending their church, as we were sitting there, we were discussing, and Pastor Paulette began to talk about that they were not going to be going on the road anymore. They were kind of retiring from that. And somebody said, well, what are you planning on doing? She said, well, I plan on starting a church. And of course, the pastor and his wife across the table just kind of, because if you know that saying, if you've ever seen your life flash in front of your eyes, well, for a pastor, it's like, there goes half my congregation. So, but at that time, that was the first time we'd ever heard her talk about that. And you know, what was neat about the whole situation is she had, and I'm just going to point out to you this building, and I want you to remember, Pastor, I mentioned it to you the other day, but I remember your first vision. Your first vision of having a church is you said, I want it to look like a barn because you wanted to have a place where all the souls would have a place to go, where you could bring in the sheep, where you could bring in the lost souls. And I think that's what we're remembering today. We're remembering that time. And you know what? I remember that time because my dad went into the hospital there in June, the first week of June, and didn't come out until the first week of September. He went through all kinds of things. And I want all of us to remember today. Remember what God has brought us through. I mean, my dad went through that surgery, and I can remember as it got closer to my birthday on August 29th, he was still in intensive care. But during that time, we believed and we thought, I said, God, it's too soon yet. I need my dad here a little bit longer. I wasn't ready for this. And God was gracious. And I even took the kids, Alicia, my daughter, and son-in-law and grandson are here today, Alicia and Nathan and Lorenzo. She was about, 26 years ago, 11 years old, 10 years old. And I remember going up there to the intensive care, and of course they wouldn't allow the children to go into the intensive care, but there was a window there, and I remember picking them up. And I said, look in there. I said, Pop isn't going to be in there much longer. I said, I want you to see this because I want you to see where he is now. And then you're going to be able to see where he is when he comes out of there. And we still had faith. And you know, the best birthday present, one of the best birthday presents I ever had on August 29th of 1996 was when they called and they said, your dad is awake. He's out of the coma. We're moving him out of intensive care. And we think that in a couple of weeks he'll be able to go home. I want you to remember what you had. We're remembering today how the church began and how it started. Because you know what? Revelations chapter 3, Jesus starts talking to the church of Sardis. And he said, wake up. You've got an unfinished work. Pastor, I think we've got an unfinished work here. And I think we need to finish it. We need to finish it. We got to remember it. We got to finish it. And we got to hold on to it. We got to hold on to it. I remember when I was traveling with Campus Crusade for Christ, the Jesus Film Project, and we did a project in Russia. And I remember Cinda calling me while I was gone, and she said, something's wrong with Nathan. Now, Nathan is our son, Nate. We have a son-in-law named Nathan as well, so we always told Alicia, you're going to marry somebody like your brother, and sure enough, she married somebody with the exact same name. And got another Nathan down here. But I remember she told me, she said, there's something wrong with Nate. He needs his dad. He's feeling insecure. He's feeling uncomfortable. And I remember when I came back from that long trip, I remember grabbing a hold of him, and I remember knowing how tightly that he held on to me. And I think that's what we need to do today. We need to remember. We need to remember to run back to him. And we need to remember all the things that he brought us out of and all the things that he's done for us, all the miracles. When we were addicted or when we were sick or when we were financially broke or when we were mentally depressed, remember it and give him praise and thanks. And I thank God for Pastor Paulette today. I thank God for Landmark Christian Center and the barn that is here. And I know that there's a work, there's a something that God has laid on her heart to reach this city. And I know that she mentioned this before about having, I always get their names confused. I want to say it's not Morris Cirillo, it's Mario Murillo. Okay, I'm way back. I'm old school. So, and I know that Pastor is wanting to do that, and I believe that kind of call in her heart is still the call back to the reason why she wanted to build this barn church was to hold souls, to hold souls. This is my beautiful wife. She's my first wife. And we're going to be married 39 years this year in September. And I want you to know something. If you've ever seen little kids just magnet to somebody, this is the one. And she was the one doing the children's church when the church first opened up.
Hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be here. And I just want to say it's been a blessing It's been a blessing to have been able to help Pastor Paulette, in the very beginning when she was just starting to get this church going. And Greg and I came and helped. We said, you know, we'll help you do whatever you want us to. And I guess somehow or other, I got into the nursery and the babies. So I took care of that nursery and the little babies for, I don't know how many years, several years while we went to church here. And it was such a great time. Met so many wonderful children. Maybe some of you are out there today, all grown up as adults. And I used to change your diaper. But it was beautiful times. Pastor would have wonderful services, and I know a lot of you were there then. Beautiful services, and we would have a great time back in the nursery. And I'm so glad that, yeah, sometimes very long services. And it was a blessing, though, to be able to help her in the beginning. And I'm so proud of her still keeping going on this journey and keeping close to God and her beautiful family that's here today. And I just want to say thank you for shepherding all of us. We really appreciate it, Pastor. I'll give that to my mom now. Alice?
I didn't tell you who they were, but Greg was one of our first board members. And so I took them to Oak Pit for lunch, and I knew they came from a long line of servanthood and being in great churches. And so I said, so, Cinda, what would you like to do? I'm thinking she'd say, oh, you know, I want to be a youth pastor or help you or assist or whatever. And she goes, oh, I want the nursery. I want the nursery. I set up a huge nursery in Oklahoma at that big church. And I couldn't say enough about Cinda. So she goes to Walmart or somewhere and buys us a little rug to sit down there at the Veterans Memorial Building. It was cement floor. And so she puts the rugs all out, buys these little swings. And she's a result of us having those little boxes up there that have the numbers come up. You know, I didn't know. And for people like that are just priceless. And I hope that you heard what she said. It wasn't a rotation of nursery where you had four or five nursery workers that work every Sunday because they want to be in the revival service. She said she was in that nursery every time while we were out here having revival. She was in there. She said, did you hear her say sometimes the services got long? Oh, yes, they did. 4 or 5 hours, they'd be laying out all night. So, Cinda, thank you for all that you did. And now here comes your mother. Alice, come here. This is Alice Cobbs, and Alice was in the old church with us years ago. I was just a baby then, Alice. And I knew her daddy and all of them. And Alice was our first treasurer. And when you're a businesswoman and a businessman like she and Donald Cobbs, I'm telling you, they were the best. And so we started out with many of the best that Porterville had and that the kingdom of God had. And Alice, I'll be forever grateful for the way you took care of our money during those days.
You're very thankful. Thank you. We love Paulette. And like she said, I went to Calvary Assembly of God when I was about 12 years old with my grandparents. And she was a baby there. Her mom and dad went there. And so I've known Paulette for many, many years. We traveled, me and my husband traveled with the Sevilles for a few months. And we really, really enjoyed that. She's a wonderful, wonderful teacher, wonderful preacher. And I know she loves the Lord with all her heart. And she loves all of you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Alice. Well, I've got to tell you, there's another lady. Gina Wiggins, are you here? Make your way up to the front, Gina. Gina and Cliff Wiggins lived across the street from me, and Cliff didn't go to church that much. Those of you that know him, he just wasn't a churchgoer much. But he came across the street one day, and we were out there having iced tea, I think, Gina, and he said, is there anything I'll be able to do for you at that church down there when you get it going, Paulette? I said, I think so, Clifford. And I'm telling you, he was an absolute blessing for years, Gina. Thank you guys so much.
Well, you're welcome.
And Gina was just a big part of everything we did. Go ahead.
And she's right. Clifford was not a churchgoer, but he had a heart for Paulette. And he did. He walked across the street not knowing what he was getting into and not knowing that it would be several years we were at the Veterans Hall. And he would go along with a few other men every Sunday, and they would set that Veterans Hall up. Chairs aligned perfectly. And Cliffwood Hall, the platform from Bob and Velma, every Sunday we had a portable platform on wheels, and he would go get that and set it up. And he put the sign out on the road. And I'll never forget, one day he called and he said, "Hey, did I spell this right?" And I'm like, "Oh, Lord." But he took pride in working for Paulette and for the church. And he didn't, I can't say that Cliff was a Christian man, but within time, he sat and he listened and he learned and his heart softened. And he became faithful for 16 years. I don't know that up until he got sick, I don't think he missed too many services. And for 16 years, Cliff was faithful. And I'll never forget what he did at the start of Landmark. And when Paulette called yesterday, I'm like, "Lord, I know you have more to say than Cliff was there to set chairs up." And, you know, that's kind of how Landmark got started, at the Veterans Hall. And Paulette, I think this was for you. And it's Jeremiah 29 and 11. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." And, you know, we might have thought, "Oh, those are Paulette's great plans and it's all going to be good." But those were the plans that the Lord had placed in Paulette's heart and her vision. And she never wavered. She never gave up. Sometimes things got rocky. She kept going. She kept her hand to the plow. And here we are, 26 years later, still celebrating Landmark and all the things that God has done. And I will be forever grateful, because it made a change in Clifford's life. And I know that upon his passing, he was ready to meet the Lord. And had he not have set those chairs up and put everything in that little tiny closet after service, you know, I don't know what the future may have held, but I know Landmark had a special place, and I will be forever grateful. And I thank you. And I thank Landmark.
Thank you, Dina, so much. I love you, too. Well, I got to tell you, Cliff, her husband, was a little guy and a cowboy. Should have probably been born, you know, back in the cowboy days. And he would sit there in that front row, second row like this. Remember that, Randy? He'd have both those arms crossed. And the evangelists would come and they'd just aim at him. You know, and I'm going to get that guy saved. And so I got to where I had to just tell him, "Now look, there's going to be a guy sitting on that second row. He's going to have those arms crossed, and I don't want you to say one word. Don't you go after him. You leave him alone. He's probably one of the nicest guys in the church, and he loves God now. He don't look like it, but everybody going to heaven." Well, I'll just not start preaching. But he was an awesome man of God, and he did. He was saved and supported us. Well, you know, of course, my Sarah was with me. And she was 16 years old when we came. And her heart was here. And that first Sunday, you know, she probably wouldn't have done it with me. But I had to play the piano for a long time and do worship. And my brother played the guitar and Sarah played the bass. And our first Sunday, some little guy, she was, I don't even know if she had a date with him, but they kind of crushed on each other or something. And he was out at some Presbyterian church, of all things. And so she goes, "Mommy plays the drums. I don't care if he's Presbyterian, he plays the drums." I said, "Bring him, man. Let's get him in here." So he played the drums. And so we had music the first day. And a friend of mine was here from Missouri, and she led worship. But we got it going anyway. Amen. So anyway, my sweet sister-in-law, Linda, has been with me from the very beginning. And Linda's still here. And Linda, I appreciate you. Where are you, Linda? Come here with me, honey. Come here. Linda married my brother when I was in third grade. And Linda loves her church, and her church loves her. She's a big part of the prayer team.
She was 10 years old when I married Larry. And we've been married 60 years, so that tells you how old she is. Sorry. No, I knew whenever I married into this family, I knew there was something different about her. She had other sisters, but she, there was always something different. And different. God calling. God's calling on her life. So, and I'm thankful to be in the family. And all of you are my family.
Amen. We love you, Linda, so much. And then there was Phil and Lori Larson. You all come, please. And Phil was another board member. Phil? And Phil and Lori, I would see at our concerts all around California. When we were around here, Phil and Lori were pretty much where we were singing. And so I was so honored when they joined up with the church when we started. And it wasn't very long after. And so Phil became a board member, advisory board member. In fact, he's still available for advice to me. Such a great businessman, successful farmer and rancher. And Lori was a lead intercessor. And I'll be forever grateful for Lori. And she's one of my prayer partners. When I need prayer, I know who to call. And so you guys, thank you so much. Who wants to go first?
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It's been a privilege to be a part of Landmark. I remember before Landmark, when we were following the Sevilles up and down the valley, that was a special time and a special anointing that we saw evolve into the church. And we were privileged to be a part of that church in the very beginning. We actually had some history before that in the Citrus Altulu School. I'm a graduate from, and your family went there, yes. And so there was a special connection that kind of made us want to be supportive of the Sevilles. And we were, I recall, we were living in Kingsburg at the time. I was working in Fresno. And we got a postcard. We got a postcard that says you're going to have a church service. And we made sure we were here. And we're proud of that and honored to be here. And we call this home. You know, I was thinking about when he called yesterday. The word kept coming to me. It was home. Why are we here? Well, this is our church home. We have three homes. We have the home where we pretty much started out from this morning. We have our church home. And we have our heavenly home. And it was an honor to be the usher for maybe 20 years or something like that. And Brother Tony was a part of that team. He's graduated to that heavenly home.
That's all right, Lori. She was that head intercessor. And I'll tell you, the woman knows how to pray. But I forgot that Phil was our head usher. And he was the best. He's always been a professional man, so he knew how he had people under him and over him. So submission was never a deal to him. And so one day there was an usher, and he was smoking, and he was smoking at the front door. So I said, "Now, Brother Phil, you're going to have to go tell him he can't smoke at the front door." And so he said, "Well, I'll do that." So he went to tell him, and the guy said, "I'll smoke wherever I want to." And Phil says, "Well, no, you know," in his soft way, he's so diplomatic, "you probably, if you want to smoke, you need to go over to the store and take your friends who are smoking with you." And he was an usher. And so he says, "Well, I don't have to come to church here." And Phil says, "No, you're right. You don't have to come to church here if you don't want to." So the guy pouted a little bit. He got over it and came back and became one of the best ushers we had. So, you know, it's just good to see people that know how to be strong and be soft in the same way. Well, this is our last couple to bring a testimony this morning. You know what? There's so many of you guys. Not many of you are left that were charter members, but you were here. And we love you all, but we only have so much time. And when your seat is finished enduring, well, your mind just shuts down. So we're not going to keep you all day. But I want another board member and another head intercessor, Mike and Portia Boudreaux, to come
and I met them a long time ago. Also, when we were ministering on the road, and they came from the very first service. And Mike, I've got to say, I'll be forever grateful for you in those days. And Portia, you as well, always a friend. So, you know he's going to be long-winded. Now, you know we got two preachers now. Okay. But I know we got a lot to talk about. But.
Amen. Well, if you'll, you know, say what Lori did, you'll be all right. I have been accused of talking long. But I'm a storyteller. And I don't preach. I tell stories. But I had a good example to follow. Jesus Christ told parables. And that's what I do. I tell parables. But we're going to talk about Landmark now. Where to start? I'll talk about when we first met Paulette. Our grandson at the time was about 5-6 months old, and it was discovered he had a very serious heart condition. And in fact, the doctors at the time said he will not see his third birthday. A daughter-in-law at the time said, you know, I know this lady who has a Bible study, and I'll bet you she'll come over here and pray for your grandson. So I said, well, fine, set it up. Get her over here. And within a couple of days, this beautiful lady here showed up on our front porch and says, I'm here to pray for your grandson. So she came, I will. She came in and she prayed for our grandson. And it was a beautiful prayer. And then she left. Our grandson is now 26 years old. He's sitting right over here. He's a graduate of Cal Poly. He has a very good job, makes really good money. He's buying his own house. And ladies, he's single. Stand up so they can see you. At any rate, at the time, I had been the resident deputy sheriff in California Hot Springs, and we had started a little church up there. And at that particular time, we were kind of bouncing back and forth between Porterville and California Hot Springs, because I had been promoted into the detective division, and I was working in Porterville, so we decided we'd move to Porterville. And one day, we looked in the paper, and there was an advertisement in there, and I said, hey, babe, you remember that lady who came here and prayed for our grandson? Oh, yes, yes. I said, well, she's going to start a church. It's going to be at the Veterans Building down here next Sunday. I says, why don't we just go? She came here. Let's go support her. So we did. We went in and went to that very first church service that she held. How many was there? 51 people. And like I said, we had started this church in Hot Springs. So we kept kind of bouncing back and forth. We were going to the Landmark, and we were next weekend we'd go to the church up in the mountain, and then we'd go to Landmark. And I said, babe, we're going to have to make up our mind. I said, we need to either go to Hot Springs and stay in that church, which was kind of going downhill. But, or we're going to go to Landmark. And so we need to make up our mind how we're, what we're going to do. Where are we going to attend? We can't just be bouncing back and forth. So I remember sitting up in bed one night reading, or before we went to sleep, I was sitting in bed reading the Bible. And I was reading in 1 Kings chapter 17. And it told of Elijah, who the Lord said, go up into the mountains, and while you're there, the ravens will come and feed you, and they will, and you will have the brook to drink out of. And that went on for a period of time, and then one day the brook dried up. And the Lord told Elijah, go down to Zarephath, and there you will find a widow woman to sustain you. And I said, babe, I think we have an answer to our prayer. There's a widow woman here in Porterville that's going to sustain us. And she has. So that little church, which dried up there, brought us down to this one, that the water is just flowing. And I praise God that He answers our prayers. All the answers are in that Bible that you have. You just got to look and keep your eyes open, your ears open, and your heart open. But we started here, and I remember a lot of things that took place. I was in that group that set up chairs every Sunday morning. I remember Ed Rockholt was there. And we had a little bitty closet. Little bitty closet. And we stored that whole church in that closet. And I don't know how we did it, but we did it. There was amplifiers, speakers, the pulpit. There was all kind of things in that closet. And it had to go just a certain way or it wouldn't go. Yeah. Enough? Enough. She wants to talk. Go away from me. But I can remember one time. No. Yes, I can. And I got another time, too. I remember one time we had a... was he a worship leader? Well, no, he played music. I don't think he led worship. Did he? Yeah, okay. He played the keyboard. And Paulette approached me one day and she says, you know, I've found out that our keyboard player is playing in a bar on weekends. Before he comes to church, he goes to the bar and plays over there. So she said, I don't like that. Let's go take care of it. So this bar had two doors, front door and back door. Paulette come in the front door and I came in the back door. And we caught him. And we drug him out of that place. So I just want to warn you folks, if you're in any place that you don't, you know, that you're not supposed to be, you better watch your back. But she'll drag you out of there. Yeah, okay, one more time. I got it. It's mine. I remember when we moved into this building here. And the carpet hadn't been laid yet. But right there. Right there. I wrote a scripture, Psalms 118. Paulette used to stand on it every morning, or every Sunday morning. Now she's down here, and I don't know what's down here. But up there, Psalms 118. And, well, I better quit. Like Greg, this is my first wife, and we've been married 58 years.
I don't have a lot to say. I mean, I was a real baby when I married him, so. Not really. Oh, no. Okay. I don't have a lot to say other than Landmark is absolutely sent by God. Pastor Paulette was sent here, and I am looking forward. I was raised by a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-stomping mother. I mean, she preached, and she knew the Bible. You know, I mean, she preached far and wide, and she never hesitated to share loudly. I was always a little bit embarrassed. I didn't like taking my friends because I didn't know if my mom was going to, you know, dance the aisles, and she did. But you know what? When you're raised where the Holy Spirit is free to move, you can't go anywhere else. You really can't. And if you want to see real miracles, because you know what? In your life, you're going to need them. We needed them, and we knew to go, you know, and pray in the Spirit. I mean, if you don't know what to pray in tongues. That's what you do, and that's how I was trained. So, anyway, love being at Landmark.
All right, you guys, I know our time's getting away, and I sure want to hear what these brothers have to say. Why don't you stand up and stretch a little bit? And let me tell you, if you have to go, you can, but I, if you can stay. Let me say, I love you all, and welcome so much. Alisa, it was so good to have you and Nathan with us and the baby. Woodards, we love you. I know you said you were going to have to go early, but I bless you all. Thank you to all of our guests, returning guests I haven't seen in a long time, but God bless you. And I'm so honored to have Pastor Randy McNutt and Elia and I have them written down, Chaplain Tony Henley with us, and Brenda and the boys. And so just walk around. You can move a minute. If you want to go get some more food, you can do that. Well, why don't you not move yet? What are y'all going to do? Okay, come on. All right. You can still remain standing if you want.
We want to do a quick presentation just to honor our pastor. Pastor Paulette, we have some flower arrangement here for
you.
She's our first lady, our pastor, our beautiful woman of God, and we just appreciate everything she does. Every single person here could come up and take the mic and say something special, and if we had the time, we would do that, but we'd be here for eons.
I know.
Because you're such a beautiful, special woman, so we just wanted to bless you.
Thank you guys so much. I so appreciate all the kind words to all the testimonies.
Before you guys move, also, Sarah, we won't make you come up. You got the babies on your lap. But here you go, Sarah. We just want to honor you, too. We love you.
Would you thank my Sarah? She was here from the very beginning.
Yes. And we love David and the babies. We just love you guys so much.
Sarah, did you want to have a word?
She begged me. She said, Mom, I'll give you $20 if you'll ask me to come up there and speak. But we're kind of running out of time, Sarah. So anyway, David, how are you doing? All right. So I'll tell you what. I will be, if you guys wanted something else to eat, you're fine. I think there's more there. How am I doing, David? Good. I've got a list here, but I'm not going by it. Okay. Listen, I want us to, before I bring these guys up, music team, would you come real quick? Would you come? I want us right now to be able to give into this special church that God set here on the corner. Brother Randy, if you look right through that window out there, you'll see that little church that we prayed in, that little shotgun building. We prayed there every Thursday night. How many remember? Clara, you remember that Thursday night prayer? And it had an old water cooler with no pads, probably. And I remember seeing Randy up there praying, and the water would just be coming down his arm. It was so hot. And in the wintertime, it was so cold that we would have all these little heaters, and it would just be blowing the breakers all the time. So I thought the other day, I thought, what was I even praying about over there? Well, you know what? I was just praying, as Gina said, about those plans that God had for a group of people in Porterville. And so, Kathy, if you have that picture, would you put it up? I know that a lot has been going on this year, and there are times that maybe we hear from God and we put a date on it, and I'm seeing that happen right now with many of the prophets. The prophets would have been better off not to set a date when they think something was going to happen in 3 weeks or in August. They should have just not mentioned dates, because let me tell you something. Jesus didn't even set a date to his return. He said, nobody knows that but my Father. So he didn't try to get all spiritual and say, I'm coming back. He just said, there's going to be signs. Look for me. So I just want to say today that, you know, God does have an order for every church. He has meanings for every church. And a few weeks ago, I mentioned paying off the church at this date. And I wish I hadn't set that date. But I believe this church is going to be paid off, hallelujah, by the end of the year. There I am setting another date. But I just know it in my heart that it will be. So we have much equity on this land and in these buildings. We have never taken out a loan, not one penny to borrow any money against it ever. But today we are going to update Landmark. Would anyone say amen? I just want to update and catch up with the times. You know, we've got those banners out front, and we're about years behind with those banners. And I love what they say, we stand for God, family, and country. But I'd rather have a digital sign. We need to catch up. Digital signs cost about $25,000. And so I believe, though, that today I've asked you to bring a special offering. And this is for our church. I don't care if you gave $40,000, $100,000. I won't get one extra penny. It all goes to Landmark to celebrate our anniversary. Now, I am stretching. This is my offering of $1,000. That's what I'm going to stretch to. Some of you that are members, you can stretch much more. Some of you can, you know, this is way out there. But I want to ask you, what is your stretch? Everybody has a stretch. And our stretch today is the blessing of the Lord upon whatever we give. So I honor you today. And I'm going to ask you to also, as they're playing one song, and then we're getting right to the word, brothers. I hope you're okay with sitting this long. Thank you for being here. But let's just sit. I'm going to pray. And I want to read this word to you out of 1 Peter. I believe this is for Landmark. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You were not a people, and we weren't. No, there was no people here. There was not a building here. The land wasn't developed. who once were not a people, but now you are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Amen. We have mercy. We have grace. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And God says, you are my own special people. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up a special gift to you today. Lord, I've stretched, and there's some others that will stretch. But I can promise them today that our stretch is our blessing. Lord, Landmark people are so faithful in giving. But Lord, we just want to lift this up on our anniversary today to say, thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. I thank you for every man, woman, and child, everyone who has spoken, our speakers that are to come. In Jesus' name, we bless your name. Amen. So you can, again, just put it in your basket there at your table. Amen. Well, I also want to honor Sheriff Mike and Angela and the family for being here today. And I want to say to you, Michael, Sheriff, you and Chris were here with Mom and Dad in those early days. And I call you boys, always loved you boys. But now to see you representing our county is such a blessing. So we honor you here at Landmark today and say you did an awesome job, and we pray for you often. Well, today we have a man that was our very first youth pastor. Now, don't run off, because you're going to want to see him. Excuse me just a minute. What they're giving you today is just a gift we want to give you. We had ordered a larger book like this. It said Landmark on the front. And I was out of town, and Rick writes to me and says, hey, those aren't going to be in time, so they're sending you something else. So these are much smaller. Probably shouldn't apologize, but maybe you could put it in your purse or in your truck or whatever, little notebook. And you can't hardly see Landmark on the front, but you'll know where you got it. And so we want to bless you with that today. I was saying that Pastor Randy McNutt came into the church right after we started. And Sarah says, Mom, have you noticed that man that sits back there? And he looks like Mr. Clean. And I said, no, I've not met him. And she says, well, he seems real youthful. He's really friendly. And Mom, he just worships God. I mean, he's a worshiper. And so I said, well, make sure I meet him after service. So I got to meet him. And long story short, Randy became our youth pastor, and he was such a blessing to me, and he loved our kids. And so I'm going to be quiet, Randy. And he is now pastoring. This just pleases me so much, makes me so proud. He is the pastor at West Coast Believers Church here in Porterville. His wife, Elia, is with him, and what a precious woman of God. We're going to have her come and speak to us later on, ladies. But Randy, would you come, Pastor Randy McNutt, and let us welcome you to Landmark. My pleasure, brother. I love you so much.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. 26 years, Landmark. Man, I tell you, I was 26 when I graduated high school. No, I'm kidding. I didn't graduate. No, listen. We follow the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not be boring. Come on. Listen, are we in the house of God? Well, just so you know, I'm a little loud. Some of you remember me. I'm a little loud and, you know, passionate about how I preach and how I minister, and none of that's changed. Yeah, over the years, you know, amen. But it was real honor when Pastor Paulette asked me, you know, and I love her. And one of the first things I did when I came to Porterville was to visit her and to let her know that we're coming in here with the ministry and a church, to let her know. And you said, well, why did you do that? It's because I honor this woman of God. Amen. She is a general of faith. I don't know if y'all know that, but a general of faith. When you say general, you got to understand, you don't become a general unless you've been battle tested. Come on, you have to be battle tested, and 26 years of ministry in Porterville will make you battle tested. Come on, I've only been a pastor 5 years, and I've already been beat up like a duck. Come on, I'm telling you, to 26 years, that's an accomplishment, but I want to honor her and let her know that the majority of who I am today is because of this woman's ministry. Come on. When I was under her, there were so many things that she taught me. She taught me honor. She taught me integrity. She taught me to do things with excellence. Come on. And she was very attentive and tenacious over the things that God has given her. Now, if you know her and you know her story, that where she was birthed, the seed of ministry was birthed within this barn and everything. She had a little place in that barn where she would go up into the upper room and spend time praying. That's where this ministry was birthed, was her time of prayer, her time of interceding, her time going before God. Because she knew where her supply was, amen? She knew where her strength was. And I just want to honor you, those that have been here. There's so many faces that I've seen that I haven't seen in a long time. And you still are beautiful people. Amen. Y'all look good. I know I do. I'm kidding. But, it was a joy when she asked me to come and speak. But there's so many things I was reminiscing with my wife about some of the ministry. There's some things about Pastor Paulette that taught me. She taught me to be ready in season and out of season. Just so you know, because there was sometimes she would come up and she would minister. And in the midst of her ministering, she would stop, drop the mic, and said, "Randy, you have the rest of the message. How many know you better be ready? Come on, how many know you need to be ready?" Or she'll let me know that morning that I'm preaching that night. Now, I love my wife, but I can't do that to my wife. I love my wife, but I got to tell her a month in advance. I'm kidding. But she doesn't like that last minute stuff, like, "Oh, you preaching tonight," you know, because she likes to be prepared. You know, she honors the station that is here. And I know it was a great honor for me to be here because not just anybody comes behind this pulpit. I've seen some mighty men and mighty women of God behind this pulpit. Come on, ministering the word of God, bringing revival, bringing strength, opening up the table of the word of God and feeding it to those that are hungry and willing to receive that which God is giving them. Amen. So I want to exhort you on a couple of scriptures because I only have a little bit of time and I'll honor Pastor and in the time frame that she gave me. She said that I only have 2.5 hours, but I'm kidding. So in Matthew's chapter 6, I want to talk about this in a little. Matthew chapter, these are my faraway glasses. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 through 41. "He who receives me, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me, he who receives me receives him who sent me." Man, say that fast 3 times. "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man and the name of a righteous man receives the righteous man's reward." What that says right here is anybody who receives a person that is called for that station, receives them in the station that they're anointed and called for, there is a blessing that comes with that. How many know there's a house blessing in Landmark? Come on, there's a house blessing that comes with being under the woman of God that God has called and stationed here in this house. There is an anointing. When you receive her and the anointing that God has put on her life, you receive that. You put yourselves in a position to be blessed and prosperous. Come on, because she is under the anointing. Now, the difference between you being prosperous and you being moved into the stations that God's called you to be moved in is how you receive her. Come on, if you receive her as preacher, then there's your reward, preacher. Come on, if you only receive her as that motivational speaker that will encourage you and give you something on Sunday, then that's your blessing. But when you receive her in the station and the anointing that God has called her to here, being a pastor, being a prophet of the word of God, pronouncing and proclaiming the word of God over your life, you receive that, then a prophet's reward you will receive. In other words, you are placing yourselves in a position to receive the anointing that flows from her. 26 years of anointing. Come on. 26 years of pastoring and shepherding. Now, not just anybody. No, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people who can be a pastor, but not everybody is called to be a pastor. Come on, you'll know who's called to be a pastor. They battle, they go forth, they love you, they endure. And how many know the word is to correct, rebuke, teach? You know, we joke about it, but it's really not a joke. You'll know if she's your pastor the first time she corrects you and how you respond to that correction. Oh, you don't tell me what to do? You know that stiff neck? You know, get those lips going. Tell me. Come on. But you'll know when you open that and you receive her under the anointing that God has called her, and you receive her as your pastor, then you will receive that correction, that instruction, and that will guide you to the position of you being prosperous and thrusting yourself towards your calling. How many know we're all called? This is, we're all called to son. Not everybody's called to hear. How many know that if you have more than two heads, you're a freak? Come on, there can only be one head. There can only be one under shepherd. Come on, there can only be one. But whenever you receive them in that position, then God can thrust you forward to your calling. I am that living proof of that. I came and I submitted myself under this woman of God. I submitted myself to her training, her instruction, and trust me, there was lots of instruction. As a youth pastor, I was always in trouble. I was always doing something, or the kids were doing something that got me in trouble. Most of the time, it was Sarah. I'm kidding. But through that, and you, Tiffany, I see you. Don't be hiding over there. Come on. And we realize that. But through that time of instruction and teaching, that helped me to mold myself under the word and under the tutelage of somebody who was walking the path. Come on, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Come on, and within that, I was able to be able to find my groove, to learn how to minister, to learn how to preach because of the opportunity that was given. She seen something in me that I didn't completely see in myself. But she saw that in me and said, oh, I'm going to mine that. How many know pastors are miners? Come on, we see the diamond in the rough and we try to pull that out when you a big charcoal. You know what I'm talking about, you're charcoal. But we see the diamond. If we can get to that diamond, if we can get to that word, if we can get to that is in you, that will come out. And God will use that. God will use that and bless you and get you to the place. Now, you guys know the story of Joshua. Now, Joshua, I mean, there's a lot in there, a lot that you can preach on in that. I'm going to not preach a lot because, we have Tony Henley here, great man of God, and I can't wait to hear him speak, you know. Amen. But in Joshua, he comes up to a place, and I'm going to tell you this, in a river. So they got to the river where they consecrated themselves, and they were about to enter in what was their promise. Now, how many know 40 years ago they blew it because Josh said, let's go, the giants are ours, let's go take them. And they're like, nah, not now, bruh, nah. Come on. But then now all of a sudden 40 years later, God said, let's go. Okay, you've been wandering way too long. Anybody ever been in a desert in a dry spot where you think your purpose, your future, those things that God has called you to just seem to be right out of reach? Like, they're right there. I know I got it in me. I know that's mine. I know I'm supposed to be there. Physically and mentally and spiritually, it just seems so far. What happened? God gave him a leader. God gave him a leader and told them, you consecrate yourself and you get ready. And when you see the priests and the worshipers step into that water, then the natural physical things open up and they were able to cross into what God promised them. That's God's word. He promised them. But in the midst of that, he turned around and he said, take with you 12 men, go have them get 12 stones and have them make a memorial, an altar. That's what I want to tell you about. I am personally one of those stones. Because under her ministry, under the anointing and the love that she showed me, I was able to shape myself, get to my promise, grab that stone, and I'm literally one of the stones of remembrance of this ministry. And what this ministry has to do, I am a pastor, a full-time pastor of my own church, anointed, called by God. You say, woo! Listen, you say, well, come on, and I know there's some preachers. Now, listen, as a pastor, I understand not everybody's with you forever. I realize that. Some people are with you for seasons, and some people are with you forever. There's pillars in the church, and there's so many pillars in this church that I still minister about. I talk about some of the men and some of the women that came and set up the church and did all those things for so many years. And they were in the background. Nobody even knew. They came in and sat down in chairs and didn't even realize all the work that it took. And you don't realize all that until you become a pastor. Come on, and you realize the need for the people of God. Amen? So I am encouraged, and I want you to be encouraged that you are in the right place at the right time for such a season as this where God will fulfill and promote you. You, each and every one of you, are a stone out of that river to the purpose of God's in this house. Amen? Amen. So that's all I'm going to say. I could go on more, but I'm just going to leave it at that. I love you, Pastor Paulette, and appreciate you so much.
Hey, did it bless you. What a mighty word, Pastor Randy. You know, when he was doing our youth, Paul Bunyan had a ballroom there. Remember the big building there, the ballroom out on Merton? And Randy would take those kids over there because we didn't have any buildings yet. And so he would take them over there, and they would have a big party like on Friday night or Sunday night. And by the time the youth got there, there was alcohol and mess all over the place. And they'd clean that old building up, and then they'd have youth there. And he grew that to almost 100 kids. I mean, strong. And it was just a beautiful time, Randy. I'll be forever grateful. Well, there was another man that I am so honored that he came today. And Tony was, he was just an absolute blessing to our church and to me. And Tony, I put him over the small groups. And at one time we had over 66 small groups that he organized those activities. And I mean, everything from a golfing small group to Bible studies, sewing small groups, you name it, we had it. But he also taught a two-year Bible college, a Landmark International Bible College University. Tony, you could talk about that. Graduated a few people after 2 years and worked in our office. And then he taught at our school. He was principal and administrator of Landmark Christian Academy. And so he's just a preacher in his own right. He preached most Sunday nights and many Wednesday nights. But would you welcome the chaplain of hospice, Chaplain Tony Hendley. Would you welcome him today? God bless you, my brother. Oh, minister, for sure.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. I don't know, Randy got me kind of stirred up over there. I thought we were going to run for a minute. Amen? Yeah, so, you know, Landmark, I was thinking of a lot of things I could say about Landmark, but, you know, I think about when I, the first time I came to Landmark and I was introduced to Pastor Paulette was, I was in Tampa, Florida with a friend of mine, and we had went to a church service, and there was a music group there called the Binions. Anybody heard of them? And I came back to Porterville, and I opened the newspaper, and it said the Binions are going to be at Landmark. I told my buddy, let's go over there. I'd never been here. We came, and then we kept coming, and then Pastor Paulette asked us to minister, and I'd just come out of Bible college at that time. And she said, I want to start a Bible school. And I remember going, oh, that's awesome. And she said, I want you to run the Bible school and teach at it. And I said, I don't know about that. How many of you know, I mean, she, like Randy said, she saw something Tony didn't see. And I was going, and I'd worked at the school when I was in Phoenix, but I hadn't taught at the school. And so we opened the Bible college, and we had actually had six people graduate our, after a two-year time. And Art's sitting over there. Lori, Kathy, they're still here. Amen? And the whole goal of that is to raise up people that are going to minister and be available in the house of God. Now, Randy talked about honoring the prophet, honoring the pastor. I'm going to talk a little bit about the house for a minute. If you have your Bibles, I want to read a scripture out of Psalms 92 and we're going to look at verse 12. And I got my wonderful wife here. Now, when I was here, Randy and I were single when we came here. And I was here about 6 years. Then I met my wonderful wife, and we got two boys, and it's fun. That's the greatest ministry for me right now, is I got two boys. I got one in fifth grade, and I got one about third grade, and You know, we open the Bible every day. If you go on YouTube, you can look up A.A. Henley, and my fifth grader there is telling Bible stories. And that was 2 years ago. And so, you know, God's faithful. He's so faithful. Do you know, actually, I've been prophesied over a lot of times in a lot of years, and it wasn't until I came to Landmark that people were going, "You're going to get married." This guy called me and said, "I want to talk to you in private." I said, "Okay." And he said, "I got a word for you." "Okay." He said, you're gonna get married. You're going to find a wife." And I was, I was hitting 40. And I thought, I don't know. Okay. And within a year, I was married. How many of you know God, when you're in the right place, around the right people, God will speak into your life. Amen. The Bible says it gives us the desires of our heart. So we're going to look at Psalms 92, verse 12. It says, "The righteous shall flourish." Somebody say flourish with me. "Like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted," somebody say planted, "in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh," I like that word fresh, "and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Now, I want to focus just on a minute here on the word flourish. You know, when I looked it up in Webster's, it's quite an interesting definition, because it says to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as the result of a particularly favorable environment. How many of you know that when you're in the house of God, Landmark's the house of God, this is a place we come, that you're going to flourish, you're going to grow. Your environment determines how you grow. Amen? Your environment will determine what you grow up to be. Amen? What you grow in the faith, that if you're going to be a person of faith or a person of fear. Amen? Because your environment helps you get, and the word planted means it's in the ground. I'm not talking about transplanting, I'm talking about planting. You know, when I built my house, they said, "Do you want to do the front yard and the backyard?" Well, I paid for the front yard, and I wish I would have paid for the back, because I knew after I got there, I had to do the planning. But what I didn't realize was the front yard was, it was an environment that things were going to flourish. The grass grew, the bushes, you got to trim them when they grow, amen? But the backyard, I would plant a tree and it would die. It's true. I still have the original tree in the front yard, but I planted a couple trees in the backyard. But the environment, the fertilizer wasn't there. That it was junk dirt is the only way I can say it. There was no nothing to the sprinklers I had to put in. I had to think about how I was going to grow those plants back there. Now in my front yard, I've got a bush there that flourishes every year, and if I don't trim it, it takes over everything. But you see, it's our environment. It's the same with the house of God. It's the same with places like this, Landmark Christian Center, where people can come and they can get delivered from what the world has allowed, that what they've allowed in their lives, and they can be set free, and they can grow, and they can flourish. But you see, the key is staying planted. Somebody say, ouch. The key is staying planted. If you're not planted in the house of God, and I'm going to tell you, it's sad to say, Pastor Randy, but I see a lot of people coming to and fro. They're like tumbleweeds. Unfortunately, I went to a pastor's funeral recently, and when I went there, there was a young man there that I grew up with. And I remember him talking to me, and he said, "Oh, he was my mentor. He was my mentor." And I remember looking at him, and I said, "Did you even attend this church?" He said, "Well, we got three or four we go to." I go, "You what?" He said, "Yeah, we go here when they're having that. We go here when they're having this." Planted is being stable in the house of God. Are you listening to me? And then let me tell you something, because what happens is you get the vision of the house. You get the impartation of the house. And when you go out on Monday morning to your job, because you're planted, you're flourishing. And now all of a sudden, you're a light in darkness. Now all of a sudden, you're the one that when everybody else is worrying, they're asking you to pray. Are you with me now? Yeah, I have three things here, and I'm like, Randy, I won't take long. We could take a couple hours here, but there's three elements of God's house. Number one is his presence. when you come into this house, and one of the things that really set apart for me when I came here was the worship. Here's what happens. You come in, and the worship ushers in the presence of God. It's like, now for me, when I worship, when I lift my hands, when I get into God's presence, that's when he begins to speak to me. Amen? This house is a house of worship. And when you're in a house of worship, his presence is evident. Amen? His presence is evident. And that's one of the things that causes you to flourish. Because you got to be in his presence. Now, we all have our prayer times at home. We have our times we spend with the Lord. But here's what I want to tell you. There's something that takes place in corporate worship that you're not going to get in your closet. Now, you need your closet. But there's something that takes place. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered, there am I in their midst. Jesus said that. You know what Jesus told Philip when he called him? He said, from now on, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of God. Can I tell you right now, when Jesus shows up, heaven shows up. Amen? When Jesus shows up in your worship, heaven shows up. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. It's in worship that we begin to flourish. Amen? Now keep in mind that meaning, flourish. We're growing. It says vigorously. That's what God, you're always going to be growing as a child of God. You're always going to be maturing. And like Randy said, we're always getting pruned and we have to have authority. We have to have somebody that's going to speak into our lives. That's going to help us on those blind spots. She's seen some blind spots on me before. You know, one thing I appreciate about her is that she was not afraid to address those things. Are you breathing out there? I see, a lot of times we'll sweep it under the rug, but she's not afraid to address when things aren't right. Amen? You see, we want to flourish in the house of God, and when we come in, his presence shows up. But not only that, you can't love Jesus without people. You got to have people in your life. God didn't create us to be an island. He created us for people. Now, you know as well as I do that we talk about the body of Christ. I always love it. Preachers always talk, well, some's the toes, some's the feet, some's the hands. But nobody ever says they're the appendix. We all know somebody that's the appendix, you know, that serves no purpose. And when they blow up, it kills everything. I didn't say that, did I? We all know that person. But here's what I want to tell you. Is we need people. We need God's people in our lives. We need people that will pray for us. We need people that will encourage us. Sometimes it's like sandpaper too. They just kind of rub off some edges. We need people if we're going to flourish. Amen? We need the people of God in our lives. And when we come in that corporate worship, God begins to move and we begin to he begins to move in all of our lives. And then we begin to, not only the third one is that we begin to find his purpose. You see, it's God's presence. His presence is in the house. His people. You can't have church without people. Amen? And then his purpose. And we're all called to a ministry of reconciliation. We know that, right? But it's not only our general purpose, it's our individual. God has a plan for every one of your lives. God has a purpose for every one of your lives. See, I believe that God has raised up in this end time that it's not a person that's going to lead in revival. It's the local church that's going to lead in revival. Because Jesus told us to go out, and he told us to be light, and he told us to be salt in darkness. And when you come into the house of God and you're in God's presence, and you're interacting with the right people, and you begin to find your purpose, let me tell you something, that's the sweet spot. That's when you go on your job, and they go, something's different about that guy. Something's different about that lady. Something's different about them. I just see something coming, just shining through them. You know, I work for a hospice, so I'm in Visalia. We just hired a couple chaplains, and we trained them, and they're both wonderful men. And the management called me in one day, and we were talking, and he said, listen, here's the difference with you guys than the rest of all these workers here. Now, we're not a Christian organization. We're the Christians they hire to share the gospel with people. Are you following what I'm saying? He says, the difference is when you guys walk into a room, the atmosphere changes. He said, you're not complaining like all the other workers. You're not whining. You're not saying everything that's negative. You're walking in, and you guys look like you have a mission. I said, we do have a mission, and that's to share Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. We're called to do that. Everyone in here is called to do that. We're called to lead. You know what the simplest meaning of leadership is influence. Everybody in here is called to influence somebody for Jesus. It could be in your home. It could be on your job. Whatever your world is. I want to encourage you today. Open your circle of love. Open it up just a little bigger and touch one more person that maybe they come in your path. But you know what? We honor this house today. We honor Pastor Paulette. We honor that the presence is welcome here. We honor that the people are welcome here. And we honor the fact that every one of you have a purpose. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your head. I just want to say a prayer. Is that okay? Amen. We're in church, right? Hallelujah. God, you're so faithful here, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for flourishing. People that are flourishing. I think about the testimonies of people that have come into this house, God, and you've done such a work in their life, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Randy, Lord, that, Lord, you just catapulted him even farther out into ministry. I thank you for Pastor Paulette that took the time to invest in people like myself and Randy. I thank you, Father God, for this house that people are welcome into, Lord, that your presence is so evident. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon this house. I pray a blessing on Pastor Paulette, Lord. Lord, that there is, the word she gave us this morning was a thrust. Lord, we're celebrating what you've already done, but we're expecting even more. We're expecting even greater things, Lord. Lord, the drug addict will walk by and walk into this house and know that he can get delivered. Lord, the person that's broken, the person that's hurt, can walk in here and be healed, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for this house. We thank you for the ministry here, Lord, in this community, Lord. We're so thankful for her faithfulness, Pastor Paulette's faithfulness, and her family, Lord. And, Lord, we just pray special blessing upon her. And we bless this house, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you allowed me to be part of this. Lord, that so many things were taught. So many things were caught as well, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for that. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. I told you they were mighty men of God. They left here single and came back. Look at this. Beautiful families. And Brenda, God bless you. And the guys, so honored to have you guys. And Ilya, Lord bless you. And I'll tell you about Randy. When he was here, he did have two girls by another marriage. He raised those girls with love. And, I mean, one of them took his name. I mean, just they were just awesome girls. So thank you for Randy being the father that you were and you are and the husband that you guys are. I just want to say, I know, thank you, Tony, for that prayer. Thank you guys so much. I want to say about my David. David, come here real quick. David, I feel, is a Boaz that God gave Sarah over the years. And he came here because there were a lot of college. I think, Tony, did you have the college class for a while? Okay, it was somebody else. But he came into that college class, and there were some pretty girls. And the college career. Well, whatever it was, there were some pretty girls here. And so, you know, we didn't know why he was here. But come to find out, I think she's sitting there. And so I'm just telling you, he told me that he was here for the wonderful worship. Didn't say anything about the preaching. But with Pastor Tony, he said, man, that worship got me. David, since I've already told him everything you want to say, do you have anything you'd like to?
I was talking to Sarah about it on the way over here. It was actually the 10-year anniversary services. There used to be like a camp meeting that was had. And I believe it was Shambuck, whatever, Shamrock. I think Shambuck was here preaching. Okay. We good? Okay. So I had met Sarah, long story. Anyways, she invited me, and I'm like, well, of course. And so I came, and it was, as Tony said, there was something about the worship. And it wasn't just because the bass player was the most beautiful woman in the church. But that was the draw that got me here, and it was the worship and the message that kept me here. And I had been out of church for 10 years prior to that, and it was just the draw and the spirit from this house. And you know what? There's been changes. You know, I can look at, there's a lot of faces that are the same when I started here. There's some faces that have changed. But throughout it all, there's been one common thread throughout this whole thing, and it's that the Spirit of God is still in the worship and still in the message. And sometimes I grew up in a pastor's home, and it's hard to sit underneath your parent when they're a pastor. And you can just imagine what it's like to be sitting underneath your mother-in-law as a pastor. But in saying that, I can't ask for a better pastor, and I can't ask for a better mother-in-law. And glad I'm here celebrating 26.
Oh, David, you're just saying that because I'm right here beside you. But anyway, I'm sure glad you said it. It made me look good anyway. I wish I could just tell each and every one of you how special you are and how much I love you. And thank you all for serving. And for Laura and Dee, and yesterday they had guys that wanted to come. And, I mean, they just came. But wasn't this beautiful today? It was just absolutely beautiful. Adam, did you have your hand up for a reason? Or are you just praising God? All right. Come here, Dee. Come on, give a couple more things away before we go. David, you want to help her there?
We have two more gifts. We're going to do a raffle. So, David, pick a number there. Okay, get your. I hope you didn't throw your tickets out. Okay, it's 691. Ready? 691-220. 691. You got it, babe? You got it? Come on up here real quick. Oh, okay. Okay. And then our last one, it's going to require you to get up and stretch your legs. There is one ticket under one chair. So if you're not too settled in, maybe you can have your kids crawl under and check it out. One ticket under one chair. It's a blue ticket. I don't know where it's at. I didn't put it there. Who has it? I know. Fold your chair up. Fold your chair up. Stay standing. Okay, we got one back there. Okay. Chloe, come get it, baby. All right. Come get it, babe. Well, I just also want to tell you guys how I'm not going to let the moment slip me by after all these great people come up here and praise my pastor.
Yeah.
My husband Roman and I myself have been here for 21 years, and it's been our great pleasure to assist her in anything she has need of. And yes, she has shaped me, molded me, ran over me, picked me up. She's done everything, and I am the person I am today. And Roman back there, he's in the doorway right there. A lot of people don't know we're married because we haven't sat together in 21 years. He sits in the back with his mom, and he does a lot of needy work around here, and I assist Pastor in a few different areas. But we just want to tell you we love you, Pastor, and we'll be here for, I hope, forever until our last breath.
All right.
So it's a blessing to see all of you. We love you guys.
Well, thank you, Dee, so much. She is my armor bearer and assistant and everything in between, and so appreciate you all. So why don't you stand, and we'll be dismissed.
and stand for the blessing. I want to tell you, Randy, I love that word about the station. Get into the station now and take on the blessing of where you are. And don't forget, Brother Tony, give me that definition of flourish again. Can you say that? You're going to grow in your environment vigorously. So, wow, that's awesome. Again, thank you, guys. And how many have enjoyed yourselves today? Come on and thank the ladies one more time for the food and the guys, all the guys for the decoration. Dee, before I pray, you got a comment about cleanup or anything?
Yes, if all you men don't mind to move all the chairs and the tables, fold them all up, the ones that are in the middle of the room and the chairs, they need to go in the foyer because they go for the rentals, and the food and the drinks, those tables stay here. But if you would please not throw away these little fruit bowls and also these things and the tea pitchers. So ladies, if you can help clean up, that would be great. Just throw it away in the different trash cans, and also whatever needs to be taken to the kitchen, just see Laura. And we also might have some food left over. Okay, thank you.
Lots of food left over, so go get something. Brother Usher, if you could give everybody one of those purple ink pens, let's just keep the purple flowing. I bless you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, and may he bless you with his peace that passes understanding in your heart, mind, soul, home, and your pocketbook. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Happy anniversary. I love you.